Hello and welcome to the Nattercast, part two of our special two-part cast for House of Cards Season 2. I am Jason Shankle of Shankle Studios here with the subcommittee.
Mrs. Shankle.
Say hello, subcommittee.
Hello.
Hello.
And if you'd like to hear our introductory information, you should have listened to the first episode. We're just going to roll directly into
that,
the recap.
That makes perfect sense.
For part
God
two.
God damn it, do things in order, people.
But before we do, we have a little bit of listener feedback, celebrity listener feedback, I'll have you know.
Woo-hoo! Yes. This would be A-Ron.
A-Ron of the Bald Move.
Yes.
Professional.
Network. Professional. Now we're professional. Full-time podcast.
Outfit.
Yes. Now yes, we've arrived.
It's a classy La-dee-da outfit. And for those of you listening, A-Ron does hang out with us in our studio. He's one of our special celebrity guests.
I thought the impeachment plot was kind of insane at the start. But then as Jim and I talked about it, Jim is his podcasting partner.
He's his longtime companion.
Not his partner.
No, not his partner.
Not in the San
not
Francisco.
Not even his partner.
San Francisco sense. but then as Jim and I talked it through, we have the historical precedent of a fairly popular sitting president being impeached for lying about getting a beach in the Oval. Doesn't seem as implausible anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
Most times this kind of thing would get swept in the rug, under the rug. Because it was clear that everyone on both sides of the party had their hands dirty with this foreign money contributions. The difference was in this universe, Lex Luthor wanted to be president.
That's right.
God damn it. And was willing to be the first to pull the pin and toss the grenade.
That's true. And I wanted to get into that. I think as we unfold the impeachment thing, my impression here is pretty much what Aaron said about the beginning is like, it's a little bit, they push it a little bit crazy. It gets to where the president has like 8% approval.
Yeah.
Charles Manson has 9%
right
approval.
Yes.
You know, in this country. So it's a little bit, but it's not like we want to see a 40-week, you know, thing about a real impeachment.
Nixon's at his lowest point, I think, was 20%.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it took, and you look at Watergate, Nixon, that was a much clearer crime and it took years. And even after, it just takes forever to get to impeachment. And so they were a little.
But then again,
Nixon didn't.
It took 6 years.
Yeah, it took a
they
while.
Investigated and investigated and investigated.
Right.
And
remember, $40 million went to. That's
right. And then it took 14 months after Starr. That, after discovering Monica Lewinsky. So it's not totally impossible. I'm just saying they're very speedy. With a campaign
the thing
finance
is, though,
scandal.
Nixon and Clinton did not have a vice president who actively wanted the president
right,
out.
And
so
who was undermining everybody and all that kind of stuff. It's the Lex Luthor quality that A-Ron talked about.
Yes, precisely.
Okay, so now we are on to chapter 20 with Mr. Littlefield.
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, so there's a nice opening where we see a commercial that's attacking the president and others. From a political action committee called Friends of a Better America.
Yeah, I love that.
And, you know, it looks like a real attack ad. It's pretty well done. And the president's angry, not surprisingly, and they're trying to figure out where the money for this came from.
This is where... Yeah.
And it's kind of duh. I mean, they've been trashing Tusk for all this time. Of course he's going to come after him.
Well, and not just that, coming after you, it's like, don't you think the Republicans are going to come after you?
Right.
Any which way, so who cares?
But it's just that it seems like it's a new series of ads that came out of nowhere.
It seemed to me like the president was expecting Frank to shut down political action committees across the country.
Right.
And this is another, I'm still stealing this line from A-Ron as well. He calls him President Simple Jack.
Yes
totally.
He's such an idiot. Come
on,
do you really expect me to prevent there from being attack ads against the president of the United States, please, you know?
Well,
come on.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? Go crush every political action committee?
You have
enemies,
yeah,
Mr. President.
Inevitably. Yeah, half the
All
country
presidents
can't
have
stand
enemies.
You.
Yeah, totally. Anyway.
So then basically we find out that the Indian casino owner switched teams, Ben and Lanigan started giving money to Republicans.
Right.
Stamper goes to the casino to find out what's going on, and he hits on a waitress.
Right.
And then sleeps with her, and then he flies to China to have a meeting with Fang, and he says, what do you want to... And finds out that Fang is really the source of the money.
Sure.
And he says, what do you want? Fang wants a Port Jefferson Bridge, And Stamper's kind of like, well, I'll see what I can do.
See what I can do, yeah. I'm the errand boy after all here.
Yeah, exactly.
And I like how he gives him the meal. It's like, you're going to take your meal. You need a long flight, right? And then he also had the sense of the two girls.
Yeah.
And Stamper sends him away. So this is more evidence possibly of Stamper's not
But he does sleep with the cocktail waitress, so...
But he's doing that for
he's doing that reasons. To cover.
He's
to
doing get, it for he, yeah. needs, he's doing that to get oh, information.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So he just, we've never seen him have sex with a woman because he wanted to have sex with her.
Right.
That's doesn't true. Happen. But there is this Asian thing where it's a polite to refuse a gift the first time. Mm-hmm. So maybe he was just doing
maybe
that.
Maybe he was just doing that. Yeah. And then we have a nice subplot that I like with Freddie. Getting because there's an article about how the VP likes to sneak off to his barbecue place and have the yummy barbecue, and so suddenly Freddie's
busy,
super busy, money pouring in. But
I was like, oh no!
And
Freddie.
You know, it's kind of sad. You know, this isn't going to end well.
Yeah,
you know, he gets a visit from a guy who wants a chain, and it sounds great, but. Not this episode, but eventually.
I thought he was going to get sleazed on by the business guys.
Yeah, which could have happened. Could have happened. But,
Oh, and we missed the Frank gives the president a punching bag.
Yes, that was a cute detail.
Next time
detail.
You want to wail on something, try this.
Right, yeah, that was pretty fun. Yeah. And Frank eventually meets with Dan Lenigan himself about Fang and what's going on.
Right. Dan Lenigan, sir.
Yes, and Dan Lenigan basically says, the white man has nothing to offer me more than beads. And he also points out, so what's the deal with Andrew Jackson up on the wall? You know, that was pretty funny.
Well, that's when he was meeting with the rest of the tribe.
Well, yeah, the whole tribe, yeah. That's right.
And then Ben Lenigan, that's in his house. Andrew Jackson was in his office.
Right, and, right.
But yeah. But I liked his sort of like solid white man thing.
Right.
And but it's you see how people are players. It's like, Dan, come on. You run an Indian casino and you're hip deep in political lucre. You're not doing this for the honor of your people.
No. You know, he's just playing it.
You're playing your role like we all do.
But that's okay. Yeah. So meanwhile Remy is still sleeping with Jackie, but he says it turns out he's not a player and he kind of wants a relationship.
Yeah.
So
good for Remy. No ring, no
Well,
bling,
not good for Remy, because Jackie's not into that.
Hey, no ring, no thing.
Yes. And
Remy's
so,
full of shit.
Oh, maybe. Anyway, he also is arranged by to get a good job for Connor, who's helping Claire. Grayson basically gets Connor to move on by hating him.
No, so, Danielle, what you just said there is kind of provocative. Mm. Is Remy sincerely interested in Jackie, or is he building this relationship to be close to her to be able to get the information he needs to use her?
He was Frank's protege.
That's all I got to say. Right?
Right, yeah. So yeah, the question is, to what degree is he using Jackie, and to what degree is he
using her? I think he's using her, but he's also hot for her.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I think he's just, you know, fucking her and using her.
Right.
Yep.
So he wouldn't... Do you think he'd pursue a relationship with her?
He is one of the few heterosexual men on the show.
Mm-hmm. It appears.
Yes.
But you never know in this.
Definitely
in Washington, D.C., I think this goes to show better than anything that you never know.
There's
power. Very true.
It's Remy and Major Dad are the two straight guys.
Yeah.
My first watch through, I thought he was pretty sincere and he really liked her. And on my second watch through, I started to see, like, wait a minute. If he didn't need her, would he pursue this relationship? And I started to think, probably not. Mm.
But she is also playing him. There's a scene with them together in my episode where she's trying to get information from him. She's fallen behind in her battle for re-election in her district. She needs information he has, and he's clearly not giving it to her. And she shifts automatically to, can we just back up?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Can we try again?
Yeah, totally.
On the romantic level. Put the brakes on this. Mm.
I think we're seeing in them... It's one of these things where they're the less experienced players in this game, and so they have some sincere connection, and they are using each other, where Frank and Claire have figured out how to have that kind of relationship work. Yeah. Okay.
So meanwhile, with the president, the first lady is suspecting Christina because, of course, Claire has poisoned the well with her.
Right.
And then the first lady and the president have dinner with the Underwoods, and it's a really...
Kind of,
tense
who's afraid
scene.
Of Virginia Woolf?
Yeah, it's obvious the president and the first lady are not getting along.
He's like, I will have pie, Dad.
Yes, he changes his mind on the pie, which seems to be a big deal.
And the president keeps changing his mind on everything.
Yeah.
You know?
And then
the flip-flopper.
Such a Democrat. Yes. He is a Democrat.
He and Frank have a drink a little more than normal and play with the army men.
Play with their army men.
Stuff like that. The first lady confides to Claire that, yeah, things aren't going well in the relationship.
Uh-huh.
So, and...
And this also just feels more like First Lady Simple Jack, where it's like, surely you understand being the president is a tremendous stress on a marriage, and you're prepared to just do the Hillary and Michelle and thing and go and Laura Bush thing and just go have your cause and take care of it and reconnect with your husband when he's not the president.
Yeah.
But this whole, like, this is our marriage, it should be supportive. It's like, come on. Have you seen what the presidency does to these guys when they age?
Yes.
They turn gray like in a week.
Right.
Obama already looks like he's 90.
I know, really.
Yeah. He was only 46 when he took office.
Totally. Anyway.
Wow. Yeah.
It helps that all their opponents are really dumb. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. And I think that's
that might be the end there. Well, there's a bit with Connor and Claire, and he's got this press strategy.
Oh, right, yeah.
And we have Connor moves on, so we got rid of Connor.
Yeah. I think I mentioned that, yeah.
And then we have Remy meets with Grayson. Mm-hmm. So we see that.
To get the job.
And we're not entirely clear if Seth is playing both sides or not, but we're pretty sure that he's fucking with Remy.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And then at the end, that's right. The ending is Frank and Claire go for a run.
The in no way metaphorical run.
Yes. And Frank totally
overtakes her.
Yeah. Which
I don't buy for a second. But all right. She's like the T-1000. She's liquid metal. He's liquid.
He's pudgy.
Liquid fat.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Anyway.
Chapter 21.
Okay. Chapter 21. There's a lot of moving parts in this chapter. And I watched this and I've got like 5 pages of notes. And I don't think there was a scene in this episode that lasted longer than a minute.
Yeah, it's just a lot of
constantly moving from one shenanigan to the next. So, but here we go. You guys help me.
Yeah. Sure.
The first scene is Remy looking up one of the women that Claire fired from her nonprofit.
That was her exec last year.
Her office manager.
Yeah. And who apparently is still bitter because she can't even afford a Starbucks now.
Right.
Remy goes and looks her up, and we're kind of left to wonder why. We do see them chatting and...
She knew about the affair with Adam Lanza.
Right.
That's or Adam Lanza. Adam, what is this?
That's eventually where that goes.
Galloway, not Lanza.
Thank you.
Right, the photographer.
Yes.
So Remy's got that in his pocket now.
Yeah.
Which, did anybody not know that anyway? I thought everybody knew that. That was
the affair with Galloway? Yeah. Everyone who's watched the show, but I mean...
everybody that was in their close circle did...
I
thought the people that were the closest to them knew about it, but it was
hush-hush.
I don't
think people knew as much in D.C., but she was seen with him publicly in New York.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that's where
they have a party.
But he was a major...
It was always...
He donated his photographs to her.
Yeah, it was a party.
They were always friends, but nobody... This is Washington. You don't say affair until you have proof, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, Frank meets with Chief Whitehall, and he's of the tribe that was kind of kicked out of... Of Daniel Lanigan's tribe.
Super tribe.
The Irish police, the Irish Indian tribe.
The Lanigans. The O'Hulans.
And so their deal is they want their own casino. They want some comeuppance. And Frank wants something from them. He's going to try to pave the way. He puts Stamper on this.
Right.
To go meet with the Bureau of Indian Affairs to get this thing shoved through.
Right. He's going to try and get them their tribal designation.
Right. The other thing that Frank is trying to do is get this bridge built for Fang.
Right.
And he's gone to Linda. Linda smells something fishy. He's gone to the president. The president's like, no, we're not doing this time around.
Right.
So, and he keeps pushing it to the point that people are figuring out that something's not.
And Linda persuades him against the bridge, and that's where we get that great aside of Frank's, which was the backstabbing, vomit-inducing bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But is he just acting to be against it? Is he just saying, yeah, oh, okay, all right. But still, he's...
No, he wants to... I think he wants to benefit... I can't get all of Frank's machinations down, but I think he actually wants the bridge because he can't let things fall apart yet. He needs Fang's loyalty and support.
Yeah,
this is Fang's price. He needs that bridge,
right?
So,
okay, and then we've got Remy meeting with Jackie again, and this is where I was talking about in your episode where she's falling behind in her re-election campaign,
and she
needs something from him. She also wants to know where is all the money coming from that's going to the GOP, and he's not telling her. So that's when she starts can we just be friends again? Right. Can we, you know...
Right. So this is also where she opens up to him about like her romantic past, which had me questioning in our last episode whether she's been sexually assaulted.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. About how she's never been in a relationship for
right.
very
Six
long.
Months,
and...
Yeah.
Okay, so back in the president's office, Frank brings up the bridge again, and this is where you know President Walker Garrett says, "Okay, just stop with this bridge thing," this is also where Frank. Where the president finally figures out that Frank's been doing stuff that's probably going to get him in trouble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Frank confides with him. He pulls the old line, "Sir, the less you know about this, the better." Mm-hmm. And if there's a fall to be taken, I'm the one that will take it.
Mm-hmm.
They're isolating that he's working against the president to undermine him, but he's pretending that he's isolating him from being in trouble.
Right. There's things you can't know. It's like, no. Yeah, there were things that Ronald Reagan couldn't know. Why don't we tell me everything that's going on? Yeah.
So, and somehow in with the president bemoaning that he's losing control of his presidency, he's losing control of his wife, he's losing control of this and that, Frank turns that to, "Well, sir, that's why you should reconsider the bridge."
Yeah, the bridge will solve everything.
Yes.
Your marriage will be better. The Republicans will like you.
And he says with a totally straight face, "I'm not saying this because I'm your vice president, because I genuinely care about you, sir."
Uh-huh.
Which Frank is really good at the straight face thing.
Yes.
So at the Bureau of Indian Affairs, Samper is trying to twist some arms and get this this several-year process for this band of Indians that they need moved up to a couple of months, and gets the assurance that maybe a couple of months.
Right.
President and the First Lady, the First Lady is still trying to work the president to back up Claire's bill for the military.
She's lobbying her husband with an appointment.
And,
she's
well,
like, "I had an appointment."
And this is how much their marriage is breaking down. She needs to set an appointment to see him.
And you notice that the president always says to her, "Do we need to talk about this now?" That's like his standard line for everything she says to him.
Yeah.
"Do we need to talk about this now?" It's like, sometime, yeah.
And it doesn't matter. You know, it's in the middle of the day in his office. That I kind of get a little bit because that's his work time.
But she's lobbying formally.
She's,
you know,
okay.
She says, "I'm not going to lobby you when you come home." You know? Yeah. So.
And he gets home and he lobbies her about our marriage. She's like, "Do we have to talk about this right now?"
Exactly. Totally.
So, and then Claire sets up Trish and the president with the marriage counselor / priest.
Spiritual advisor.
That they got the Xanax from.
Right. And again, consciously aware that his spiritual advisor status is probably dubious, but it's enough to convince the First Lady that it'll probably be safe and the president.
Right.
But they're pretty clear that you can probably break that legally.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, everything is on the line with these two.
Well, Claire is really devious here because she knows that she's playing on Trish's weakness of, "My marriage is in trouble and I just want to fix it, you know, regardless of what the president has on his back." And Claire is playing on that, setting her up to take this big fall. So, and then Remy appears to have gotten dirt on Claire from Evelyn. He goes to see a young
a photographic assistant of Adam Galloway's.
That's right.
And he ends up with ultimately, that's the big reveal at the end. He ends up with a photograph of Claire sleeping in bed.
Yes.
That the assistant has, I guess.
So he offers to buy everything from her.
Right. Knowing that there might be some Claire Underwood in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd think that if you had pictures of Claire Underwood and she became the vice president's wife, you'd sell them.
Yeah.
Look what I got.
Well, if you have
but he's a professional photographer and he took those out of sentiment. So
no, I get that. What I'm not clear on is whether,
therefore, she should not have had access to them.
Did Remy get them from Galloway, or did he get them from the assistant? Did the assistant have Galloway's? Because the assistant would have copies of Galloway's work. She would have made them for herself, right? Just if you're assistant to a photographer, you'd make copies for yourself, even not going to publish them.
Yeah, would he keep his personal photographs in the same files as his professional photographs?
Don't know. You know,
and but, would she have them?
And it wasn't clear to me how the picture ultimately got out, whether it came out through Galloway or came out through the assistant.
But it's got to have something to do with him buying this stock load of pictures from her.
Yeah.
Because it never comes up again that he bought these
pictures. She never comes up again, whatever. But but Remy does brace Galloway. So.
All right. And so now Frank has to figure out a way to go see Daniel Lanigan.
right,
in Missouri. So he finds that there's some, you know, I think the majority leader is a guy from Kansas City.
Yes, majority. Yeah. So he was he's going to campaign for some. I don't think it's the majority leader in the House. It's some Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he goes to some Democrat's district and has a rubber chicken lunch with him.
Yeah.
on the pretext of, you know, of that, gets into Missouri.
And he goes to see Dan Lanigan, and surprise, Tusk is there.
Major Dad!
Hey!
Oh, what a major pain.
And so they have a rather unpleasant meeting where it's kind of a chess match. They're going back and forth.
I love the steak.
Dan, yeah.
Yes.
Dan offers him a $200 a pound steak, which he says, I'm not going to be here very long. and so the back and forth was, look, the Ugaya Indians joined our band again, so you don't have them to work through.
That's we end ran you. We figured out what you were trying to do. You were trying to make a new Indian tribe that you could be your friend, and so we just reabsorbed them into ours, which they're an offshoot from us.
And so, neener, neener, neener.
So, neener, 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 we've taken that card off your plate, and that's what Frank's upset about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So much so that he needs ribs on the flight on the way home.
Yeah.
Well, and after throwing the steak away.
Throws the steak away,
says, call them and tell them to make ribs.
Yeah.
Dogs are so predictable. So, okay. But what Tusk wanted out of this was for Frank to smooth things over with the president, get him back in, and sorry, that ain't happening. So, they leave on kind of a stalemate.
But what you kind of don't see when we're at this point in the story, and I kind of got it a little bit better on the rewatch, is Frank is setting this up so there's more and more and more explicit connection between Tusk and Lanigan.
Right.
That's the key. There has to be, because there's President plus Tusk, Tusk plus Lanigan, and the more he goads these guys to work together,
uh-huh,
the more evidence he's creating.
Yeah.
That he can deny, hey, you guys all chose to get in bed with each other.
Right, yeah.
So it's, it's manipulative. Dogs are so predictable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can get him to jump in the pool.
But because of this, Frank has to get his bridge built more quickly.
Mm-hmm. Linda's not having it.
Linda's not having it, still. Then we have a scene with Stalky Stamper visiting Rachel's apartment.
Yeah, Stalky Stamper.
And this is creepy because he goes, and he's standing there and you see a dirty clothes hamper, and I thought for sure he was going to go for the panties.
Yeah.
But he settled for sitting on the bed and smelling the sheets that she...
That's still pretty fucking creepy.
It is still creepy.
He's a strange
Stalky
man.
Stamper is the worst.
And that was all there was in that scene. We just had to see Doug, you know, getting his kink
Give
on.
Give it half a second of this, you know.
So, and then Frank goes back to the White House, and he has a big showdown with Linda because he was in a hurry to get to the president's office. She tried to stop him for something. He says, look, I have a meeting with the president, asked me to come see him. He says, no, you set that appointment, and I canceled it. Mm-hmm. And then all hell broke loose. So they went, and they had a big knockdown, drag-out fight over this bridge thing.
Right.
So Frank excuses her, you can go now.
Turn off the light when you leave. He leaves.
And then she goes to see the president, and again, you know, hey, the vice president's bringing up this bridge thing again. I don't know what to make of it. And he brushes her off.
Right.
So she, you know, it's obvious to her that she is not able to do her job with Frank interfering.
And he dresses her down, and she's not really playing this game, you know, which makes this aside later on a little bit interesting, is he tells her, he knows, you're basically just his social secretary and his work secretary. You're just taking his schedule. You're not being the chief of staff.
Right.
You're not protecting his interests, right?
Well,
that's what he's accusing her of, because he knows that'll hurt her.
Yeah.
And undermine her self-confidence, but she is protecting his interests. This bridge is a boondoggle.
Well, it is also. And, you know, just the fact that she went in and canceled his appointment, he's turning that into, oh, what are you, his secretary now? Are you Secretary of State?
Yeah, he's taunting
his personal
her. Yeah. It's really unseemly.
It really felt like just something for him to say, to put the focus, to put it back in her court.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
because she is fighting for his interests.
Yeah.
You know.
So, let's see. What else we have happening here? Frank and Claire meet, and it turns out that Seth thinks that Remy might have something on them, which we think he does.
Yeah, we think he does. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they've got that, and I think we find out here that Seth is a dual agent. He's working for both Frank, or pretending to
work. We saw him meet with Remy in the last episode.
Yeah.
So we know that Seth is talking to Remy.
Right.
We don't know, but
well, we find out
later, later on. We find he comes clean about that. He's like, "Yeah, I'm talking to Remy."
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so what can you, what can I do for you on that score? He's, he trusts me. So what can we do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's pretty, he's pretty much all Underwood.
So then Rachel and Lisa. Okay, never mind that.
Because Remy complains that he's going too slow. Remember, Remy says, "I found out more in 24 hours than you found out in 4 weeks."
Right.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Grayson's dragging his feet on giving him anything worthwhile.
So so Frank and the president meet, and Walker wants Frank's assurance that whatever Frank is doing won't come back to haunt him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he gives the, "Oh, sir, you know, whatever fall is to be taken, it'll be taken by me."
Right.
Oh, Linda Frank turns in her resignation letter. And do you think this is a chess move? Do you think she's trying to force somebody's hand? They had this conversation where Frank advises the president, "Look, if you accept her, if you don't accept her resignation, it makes you look weak."
I don't think Linda's a player outside of just fighting politically to win. I think she plays straight.
Yeah.
So I think when she quits, it's because she's quitting.
Okay.
Because she can't win.
Yeah.
And that's what he says. It's like she fought to win, but she lost. But she did fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I think that Linda, of all the people we've seen, is the only one who is basically honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the political
realm. She seems uncorruptible.
She's not corrupt.
I think that's one of the first things Frank said about her.
Yeah. That's her problem.
Way back in season one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. But,
and then this scene also shows that Frank, that Garrett is kind of the weaker one, because Frank is the one explaining what the different scenarios are and what he should do is accept her resignation and let her go, which is what he ends up doing.
Right, because you can't bring her back. It's already over for her, you know, and all that stuff, right?
So we also have several scenes of Megan, the other girl that General McGinnis raped. Mm-hmm. She's testified before Congress at this point. Well, she actually didn't, because she
didn't.
Fell to
she's
pieces.
Out there. She's smoking. She's gone to pieces. Claire tries to intervene with her. She says she's sleeping around with strangers.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is
she's
gonna
falling apart.
Be a credibility issue for her. And, you know, yeah,
but
she's falling apart.
She comes and goes. She seems to have liked the attention that she's getting, but also she's afraid of being.
I get the sense that she's a little bipolar and histrionic.
Yeah,
you know, so she can't really. Yeah.
And it may be, you know, the sexual assault that, you know, affected her and
definitely.
And untreated.
Or those are the vulnerable people that rapists go after.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you target somebody exactly. vulnerable and you break them.
Sure. Or somebody that you know nobody will find credible.
Right.
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 Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, we're almost done. There's a scene where Stamper is putting the lean on Fang, saying, "Look, we want the bridge, or you get your bridge, as we promised, but you cut ties with Tusk."
Right.
He says, "Look, that's not part of the deal." And he says, "Well, it is now."
Right.
And that might have been a little fuck you for calling me an errand boy.
Right.
And then, but what he didn't do is he didn't, like, snap the phone in half and throw it in the garbage. He just threw it in the garbage.
Yeah.
I was waiting for him to do the Walter White thing. And
you got to do the Walter White thing because the hackers are coming. They're everywhere.
Apparently.
So the president accepts Linda's resignation. Remy goes to Tusk's house and tells him the Underwoods got to Fang. It's over. You know, the refinery is done. And Tusk turns to his wife, this sweet, like, Midwest 60s-looking sweet woman, and says, "What do we do now?" And she goes, "Fuck him."
Yeah.
That's kind of funny.
She's very Claire. Mrs. Tusk is another Claire.
And I do believe that's
the only other thing I have here is that Rachel and Lisa, their relationship becomes romantic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But that's just a little
now
story. They move into full lesbian.
Didn't
territory.
They do
go
that
full,
in
they
Europe?
Go full lesbian.
Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
Okay.
No, this is their. They start to make out here.
Is this the scene where they started making love with the blinds?
No,
open?
That's not the big sex scene. They just kiss.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. No, that's the after Meacham thing.
Yes.
Okay. In case you're all creeped out by the two guy bisexual thing, here's some lesbians for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Who are young and attractive and naked.
Yeah.
And not horrible in Kevin Spacey.
And with their blinds left open,
exactly.
as one does.
As Stocky Stamper, which I got to give you credit for.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Stocky.
How do you come up with this stuff? The worst Muppet name ever, Stocky Stamper. All right, so this comes back to me now, and so let's do a little more listener feedback, shall
we? Yes.
Hooray.
Von Carl Brown. I find it fascinating that every single move is so strategically planned and detailed, from Tusk to Linda to Jackie to Trisha to their threesome, etc.
I found it nice to see a shift in balance this season with Frank and Claire. Frank was frazzled and bordering on losing control, and Claire was the one whipping him. She was more calculated and in control. I agree it was a little too easy for Frank to work with the Prez, but I guess they had to move the story along, and simple is better than too complicated and messy. Didn't mind the Tusk, Fang, Lanigan stuff, as it was mostly interesting. Enjoyed Major Dad, as for whatever reason, I enjoy his acting. Really looking forward to see what they do with season 3 and watch the House of Cards come falling down.
There you go.
All right, cool.
Cool. So moving on to chapter 22, we got Frank, and he's got Doug and Seth in his backyard, and he's just commiserating with them, and he makes them drink with him. You know, and this is where he says a little sibling rivalry is good, especially among adopted boys, because they'll either become their better selves or they'll go back to the orphanage, right? So this is a way. Now we see the logic of putting two ambitious people in a position of needing your approval.
It's like a honing.
Yeah, exactly. Or it's almost it's a grooming,
sharpening knives.
They're discussing whether to make the president should make any comment on the. Oh, there was the photo reveal. We got the photo reveal from last
episode.
Right.
Oh, right? That's right.
Yeah. It gets revealed at the end, and so it's Claire in bed, and so should the president say anything about that? They don't think they need to bring out the big guns. Then it becomes about him, you know, basically, and like that. When Frank is off getting drinks, Stamper warns Seth that he's not Connor. He's been around longer, and he kind of stampers
Seth
up on
Seth is a great
him.
Character.
I really like Seth.
Yes,
he is another Cylon, man. I can just like, okay. Yeah.
He's the guy that cherishes that people hate him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does. He works very hard at getting that.
So Grayson said something I found really interesting there, though. He said, you know, look, I had one card to play, which was getting rid of Connor. Mm-hmm. I'm in position now. You're telling me there's a ceiling, and that's you. You're the ceiling. I believe you, right? You know, and then the Stamper says, "Well, I don't trust you." And it's like, of course you don't trust me. I wouldn't trust me either. But I'm telling you the truth.
Right?
Is I'm not looking to take you out. And what I got the subtext there is, it's like you're clearly a disaster who's about to blow yourself up. I don't need to make a move. I'll just wait, and you'll go get Stampered, and I'll be in charge. You know, there's no reason for me to take you out. You're entrenched and you're too fucked up.
And spoiler alert, that's what happens.
That is what happens. Right? Exactly. So yeah, Grayson just has to wait on that one. A little silver ray was not such a bad thing. Okay. Then we opened up though in this episode with Freddy. So this is the Freddy episode. This is Jodie Foster directed this one.
Heavy Freddy.
So I just want to say, going into this one a little bit, of my first view through this, I felt a little bit like, really, do we have to have the African American character whose son is a thug and who doesn't, he went to prison? I mean, it felt like it was a little
stereotypical.
Yeah. You know, but on the other hand, I like Freddy, and I like the idea of your past ruins you and your lack of relationships.
Also, if you know about the DC population.
Yeah, it's not unrealistic.
And everything goes
the
crashing.
White people are pretty much the transient population, the politicians.
And that's what Freddy's seeing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freddy and his world is what DC is. Outside of the fancy lawns.
And Baltimore.
And stuff. Yeah, exactly. So while it's stereotypical, it is more realistic to the area.
It's more like what it was. It felt to me like it was. It's not so much stereotypical. It's that it was a little bit unearned on this show. If this was The Wire, I'm totally in.
Yeah.
With Freddy, with fucked up Freddy. On House of Cards, it's like, oh, for one episode, we're The Wire. All of a sudden, now the plight of poor minorities is a meaning because the guys can get undermined.
Also,
but it's not. It bends without breaking.
The guy
and it's a good story.
The reporter who wrote the story about Freddy would have looked into his past, and it would already be known that he had.
Well, that got published. That part did get published.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But is that part of the story, though? That
yes.
Freddy
yeah,
was
no, that
convict?
Freddy, that's how we found out about it.
Oh, okay.
Right, that he's vehicular manslaughter and all the other stuff, right? But, okay. But that's not what screws up his deal.
Yeah.
His past doesn't screw up his deal.
It's his son.
It's his son, you know, waving a gun in people's faces. So, anyway, so we have Freddy gets up. And this I did like the execution. I think Jodie Foster did a good job with this. He gets up. He's in bed. He does his exercises. He has his Batman hang upside down thing. And does his car, his core, you know. he goes back and he goes over the plan with the guy, and the guy says, well, the restaurants are going to be kind of beat up like your place.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know, oh, do I have to play the nigger here? Is that what's going on?
Yeah.
And it's like, that was a little right in the face. It's like, kind of, yeah. You know, that's you're trying to get white people to come to your real rib shacking authentic joint that we're going to mass produce. I mean, this is what corruption feels
with
like.
With the peeling linoleum mass produced.
You know, and it doesn't have to be a racial thing, but you are in this position where you're being used for this. Sure, of course. Mm-hmm. Who else? What else? Why else are you getting $90,000?
Right.
But that you're being used. And so they visit his son. The son, they have attitude with each other. Okay, you know.
Grandson that doesn't know who he is. Did you catch that?
Grandson doesn't know who he is. Yeah. And thugs out front who are going to make you buy crack before you go in or some, or weed or something. It's just like all this stuff. Really sad. Then the son comes in to do the work. And you're like, okay, you know, I knew it was going to end poorly. But it's like, he's coming to help his dad.
At this point, you know something bad's going to happen.
He's got a gun with him. And it's like, you know, because he's got all this cash, right? And it's like, that's why you hire a courier service.
Yes.
You know, you hire people who are security guards.
Once you become famous, there are certain things
you don't protect yourself with a gun when you have $10,000 in receipts.
The interesting thing is it is a good example of how in our modern age someone can go from, you know, top of the world to completely down in just seconds.
Right.
It was just when that son pulled the gun on the
photographer.
Yeah. Everything was over.
Well, and what the other thing? But the other thing that's funny about that is, it's like this is the kind of thing. If Sean Penn does that, or you know Kiefer Sutherland or whatever, they go to jail, but they still get to have
30 days
for 30 days. Or Robert Downey did real time. Okay, but you have. But they come back and they get to have a career.
Right.
Nothing ever ruins it for you unless you really murder somebody or something heavily. Unless you. So but this gun on the reporter who's taking pictures.
Right.
You know.
Little excessive.
I would have thought that, and it's not this kind of thing, but once Frank noticed there was this much business happening, he would have sent an advisor to talk to Freddie about how to handle this, because it's like, I've got enemies.
Right.
People are going to come after you just because of who you are. Right. Frank decides, he says he wants to help Freddie, and Claire's like, we can't be helping Freddie. Tusk is doing this to him to get to you. It takes strength to have resolve and all this other stuff. And we go in, and we think he's going to try and do some sentimental Frank thing, but he's like, I have to cut off my ties with you, Freddie.
But
Freddie understands. It's like, you don't need to.
Freddie turns down the money, though.
Yeah, it's like, well, no, let me help you. And he's like, I'm not going to take your charity. And it's like, let him help you.
Yeah.
You're about to lose your place because of fame that Frank brought you. You can let him bail your son out. That's cool, you know. I kind of hope that Frank pardons Freddie Jr.
Oh, yeah, that could happen.
I'm pardoning my barbecue guy's son. I don't care. I don't care about re-election.
That'd be the kind of pardon that's done during the winter break.
Exactly.
Like what George Bush did with the Iran-Contra guy.
And then finally, ultimately, Freddie loses his spot, and the guy says, the guy ends up, he's already buying the place, but it's that's only worth an empty lot now.
Oof.
And so it's like $40,000, which he has to put all that into, or 60 or whatever it's all he gets, and it's all going to go into his son's bail. And terrible. Okay. Okay, Tusk. Tusk has the reporter. She's like someone who's like reported in Cairo and Iraq and a bunch of stuff. She's not scared. She comes in. She knows a lot about China. And she's asking him about, you know, the energy and things like that and how things are intertwined. And he tries to intimidate her. He gets like right up on her, he's like in face, just like, meh. And she's like, God, who do you think is this?
Yeah, that was okay.
You know, just laughs him off.
Yeah.
And then he tries to scare her with the broken pot. He's like, let me give this to you as a present. It's like, we imported it from China and it broke into 1,000 pieces and it took us forever to repair it. And, you know, the delicate things can really be broken. It's like, come on, man. Okay, you're going to have me murdered. Whatever.
Yeah.
So now I know I'm onto something.
You're right.
And she was out front with the Adam Galloway news conference and she's like, I don't want to do this. I want to do some real work.
Yeah.
And she goes to St. Louis for this. Speaking of which, so we have Claire. And they're discussing the Galloway photo, and they call up Adam, and they tell him to deny it. And he denies on TV that he took the picture at all. And then Claire comes out in her white dress and says, "I don't know why Adam said that."
Yeah.
So when I saw that, I was like, "Wow, you are manipulative." Yeah.
That was a bit too much. The white dress, I thought.
The white dress was a bit on the nose, but also just like, Adam took that picture for me because Frank asked for a picture of me sleeping for my birthday. It's up on our wall. I can only imagine that he just felt intimidated.
And I love when Adam...
And I love Adam is sitting there like, what the fuck?
When he goes to talk to her later, he has to walk by the picture.
Yes. And he's like, how deep does the rabbit hole go with you people, you know? So And Clara's story, of course, you know, Adam calls up like, what were you doing? She says, I wasn't trying to be manipulative, which I think is the bullshit line of the whole series.
Yeah.
Is that if the story was too clean, if it was too neat, if we had an explanation out of the bag, they'd be suspicious. There has to be a gear grind that looks like it's clumsy.
Right.
Because then it would be feel more genuine. And he's like, well, you could have told me. It's like, oh, you would have blown it. And just the utter contempt she has for him and everything. Yeah. And he's starting to see that. Okay, so then Adam, I believe Remy comes and embraces Adam. Is that what happens? I forget the order which that happened, but basically, his fiance has a father in Bogota who is on trial for treason and going to get executed. Tusk has the judge in the back pocket. Tusk, through Remy, offers Adam to save his father-in-law's life if Adam publishes another photo of Claire, basically, mm-hmm. which Adam does. And this time it's Claire in the shower. Right. So we start scrambling. Grayson finds a 20-something model or a 30-something model, gets her hair cut and takes a picture from in the shower. It looks the same. Mm-hmm. Saying, and then at first I thought they were going to try and claim that she was the model.
I thought right. that too.
Yeah, which would have been a little bit much conspiracy, but it's more like, hey, look, we put this photo together.
We can fake it.
This isn't Claire. This is her.
It's easy to fake this.
Not a that made a lot more
photo.
Sense.
Yeah, and I like the way he rehearses a model to say the exact thing.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
We fake this.
It's like, how good are you at acting?
Yeah.
I also like, why aren't you talking to my agency? It was just like, well, why are we doing cutting my hair? I am a professional model. It's like, if you were a professional model, I'd be talking to your agency.
Right, yeah.
I wouldn't
it's
be
like,
here.
Fuck you, here's your money, go.
All right, Stephanie Daldry is her name.
Yeah, she was
Okay, so then Adam comes in, he sees the picture on the wall.
Yes.
And this is one of my favorite, like, Claire and Frank working together scenes where Frank is like, you know, if you think you know something about my wife because of the affair that you guys had,
right,
you don't know jack shit. You know, and when they said you didn't bring your phone, like we told you not to bring your phone, I thought they were going to kill him. I thought there was like a murder hole that they were going to throw him into.
No, no, no.
You
know?
Like when he asked Zoe to clear her phone of all their text messages and contacts. Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah. But, you know, Claire's not a murderer. At least not yet.
So, well, she says, you know, if I'm giving you an out, and if you refuse to take it, I will bury you.
Right.
Okay. You know? Yeah. And then he...
She threatens the fetus.
Yeah. And he says...
And she was serious.
Yeah, that's true.
She's a murderer.
She'll let a baby with her.
And she's completely complicit in and knows when Frank...
She knows that Zoe murdered Zoe, for sure.
Does she?
Zoe threw herself under a train out of despair. Get out of here.
I don't think he flat out told her.
Get out
he
of
doesn't
town.
Have to.
He doesn't have to. Come on. She saw it on TV. She's like, oh.
Yeah.
Hey, he's not home. Yeah. Oh, I see. He's been busy tonight.
Yeah, right. You weren't home when this happened, Frank.
Yeah.
So Adam agrees to go along, but then he says to Claire, I'm sorry I met you.
Right.
Which people have said this to Claire again and again.
Yes.
I'm sorry I met you. Megan says it to her later on.
Freddie doesn't say that, but that's what happened.
Yeah, I'm sorry I met you. Right.
Yeah.
And then just because this is a frustrating piece of the story, they decide to focus on Raymond Tusk, and then that's when she says, let's make him suffer. And then Frank gets the aside of the week, which was, I don't know whether to be proud or terrified. Perhaps both.
Yeah, that was good.
So I think that covers that one. There was no stamper or president in this one. This was all Adam and Claire.
Yeah, it was all about the
clearing the
name.
Yeah. So we're moving on to Miss Danielle.
All righty. So
episode 23.
So the Frank, the president, and the staff are meeting about the Chinese and what appears to be the beginnings of wars, the way I took it, right? They're starting to...
Yeah, the Chinese are encroaching on Japanese territorial water. Mm.
And then we see someone attempt to drop a duffel bag bomb off outside Frank's residence. Mm-hmm. And then the Secret Service meet with Francis and Claire and explain that it was a former Marine with explosives strapped to him. And in the duffel bag, his wife got an abortion last week without telling him, so Claire is the real target.
Right.
Frank has dug continued to try to dig up dirt on Tusk. Frank wants to use the casino. He knows there's some sort of connection there.
Right.
Kathy tells the president that the Chinese were insulted, that we would try to buy them off. Half the country thinks Claire's a baby killer or adulterer or both. Claire encourages the president to get some rest, and the president... I'm sorry. Not Claire.
Frank.
Frank encourages the president to get some rest, and the president admits that things still aren't good with his wife.
Yeah.
Mm. Aside of the week, I've always loathed the necessity of sleep. Like death, it puts the most powerful men on their backs.
That's a Pove paraphrase of Edgar Allan Poe.
That was a good one. Yeah. Frank and Claire smoke at the window, and she stresses how important it is to get Jackie on board mm-hmm. with her agenda. Claire catches Francis calling Meacham by his given name, Edward. And for the first time, and raises an eyebrow to it, she's like, mm-hmm. does somebody have a little crush on Meacham?
Yeah.
Tusk drills Frank about his involvement with Ayla's inquiries, and he claims no knowledge. Ayla's the girl from, is it The Post?
Sorry, which one? Where was that?
Ayla's that reporter girl.
I believe yeah. so, yeah.
Yes. I think it's The Post,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So Meacham walks in on Frank watching porn.
Yes.
Straight yeah. porn.
The whole thing. He's watching straight porn, but it is two men and a woman.
Mm.
So it is that kind of
I didn't catch
three-way.
That.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't catch
it
either.
It's a yes. your basic Chinese finger trap situation.
Oh, yes. I missed the double dick.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's two men on either end of her.
Mm.
Right.
So she's getting...
So we're seeing probably what happened.
Doggy.
Yeah.
And she's giving fellatio, but she's getting doggy from another man.
Right.
There you go.
And he's watching without jerking off. This is clearly just to lure Meacham in.
Yeah, I guess.
Because who watches porn without spanking it?
Right. What's the point? Yep. Admiring the filmmaking?
He's admiring the... Yep. Well, he was trying to get some lighting tips for the later episodes.
He doesn't turn it off. He doesn't, like...
No,
it was all about getting
Meacham in and getting him a little.
Yeah. Oh, did you see my? Oh,
look what I'm suggesting we do.
Yeah, look at this.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, exactly. That's his suggestion.
Look at how we can use my wife.
Yeah,
and then though, they have that interesting conversation. Claire and Frank, they're watching that old interview of themselves.
Yes,
uh-huh. And then they start talking about. She says she doesn't miss a photographer,
uh-huh.
and she's like, well, what about you? And he's like, well, now that I'm vice president, we don't really have time for this kind of thing anymore.
They have a history.
They have a history.
Yeah. This is all leading up to the Meacham thing.
Yeah,
right.
So
sort of right. Yeah, that was my next line.
Yeah.
And so he informs, Meacham informs Frank that he'd like to be the head of Claire's security detail until the threats on her life die down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then that's what Frank asks Claire. She misses being with Adam. And she says, he meant a lot to me for a while, but that's done now. And then she asks him if he's satisfied, and he says there's too much at risk now.
Right.
And we start really seeing, you know, what she's talking about without, you know, reading between the lines. So Frank is waiting behind Jackie's desk when she returns from California, and he reminds her that she wouldn't have this office, if not for him. And then she tells her to co-sponsor the bill, whip the votes, I'm no longer asking. Right. And then she says, then I'm no longer listening.
So Jackie's off board.
And then he makes it clear that he knows about Remy.
Right.
And then Remy's involvement, too, with Tusk. And so he's like, you know, y'all just discuss that during your next pillow talk session.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Little pillow talk.
Yeah. And then the money laundering story breaks moments before the president's press conference.
Right.
And the president is furious at Frank for not keeping him informed. And Frank insists he was just protecting the president by keeping him in the dark. So he has
which he told him before that he was going
to
do.
Right. Right. And I missed on the press conference was supposed to be about the Sino-Japanese problem.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So he's trying to deal with this military issue, and they're asking about campaign finance.
Yeah.
And
right.
Like, oh, yeah.
Which ties back to the Chinese.
Right. Right.
So it's all part of the same story.
Right.
Okay.
And then Franks invites Meacham to sit with him outside while he has a beer, and he admits to missing having Meacham around while he's on Claire's security detail. And then Claire comes out with her own beer. Claire is pulled out of bed and taken to the safe room early in the episode after the bombing threat.
Uh-huh.
And Claire meets with Jackie, and Jackie refuses to support the bill as is.
Right.
Claire asks if she's trying to distance herself because of the Galloway scandal. The only woman in congressional leadership and you bow out is what Claire says. And she says she'll actively fight it, not just bow out.
She opposes it on principle.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then Claire is still getting tons of death threats and is being put on minimal visibility in the public. You know, she can only go out when she needs to, not in big crowds, all that kind of thing. And she clearly isn't enjoying that.
Right.
And then I put these under Lucas, even though Lucas isn't around anymore because it's all the aftermath of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I called the guy with the chinchilla the cyber nerd.
Yes.
So the cyber nerd that Lucas worked with gets a GPS alert. With his creepy pet, Cashew.
Yeah.
And then Ayla receives a card in the mail with Chinese words behind it that she interprets to mean follow the money.
Well, she asks, does this pursue the cash?
Right.
Like, that
follow
was,
the money. Oh, I suppose follow the money. Sure,
that,
whatever.
Right. That was the leak.
Right. And then Ayla calls limo and bus services one after another to figure out the connection to the, you know, get something real on the Chinese trail to the Minnesota casinos. Uh-huh. And she finally lands on the right service. And then Ayla drills Mr. Lanigan about Feng's visits to the casino. Tusk is there in the background motioning him to keep his mouth shut. Mm-hmm. We see Rachel reading the Bible to Doug, and she tells him about Lisa moving in. This is again where we see kind of a motherly thing with Doug, where she reads to him.
Right, the and, reading. Yeah, reading the Bible.
Yeah, that's definitely...
And Tale of Two Cities.
Right. And then Doug meets with Rachel again and gives her permission to let Lisa stay. He asks her to read to him again while sitting in a car, in the car in Tale of Two Cities. Right. And then the cyber nerd tracks her down.
Yep.
Jackie and Remy are still pillow talking, and he begs her not to go on her California trip. Remy questions her about her tattoo, but she won't talk, so he attempts to rub the truth out of her. Rub?
Yes.
Ha, 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 ha.
He attempts to access her digital files.
Yes. Exactly.
That's right.
She does admit that she's into pain, and it helps her deal with the pain she struggles with due to how many people she killed while in the army.
Yeah.
And then we suspect she has some other pain from her army days. Frank's goon zeroes in on the relationship between Jackie and Remy. That's that FBI guy. Jackie and Remy face off in her office, and she says, "Unlike you, I don't peddle my goods to whomever can pay the highest retainer." Hmm. And she's pissed because she's like, "You knew about the money and you didn't tell me." And then she asks him, "Were you fucking me to get to info on Frank?" And then later, Remy and Tusk talk, and Tusk tells him to go after Jackie.
Right.
And of course, Tusk doesn't know that.
Right. And this is where we see he's on the phone in the car. And this is where I started to question the. Because here it looks like Remy really does not want to hurt Jackie.
Right.
Right. So he got some loyalty to her.
Yeah.
But I think that he entered into the relationship thinking it would be useful for him.
Maybe.
And,
of course.
And then he hasn't. And then he just has these feelings.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
And I'm still waiting to see her take like shots of laudanum.
Something.
Because I keep thinking of her from Deadwood.
Now, what is Stamper's connection with Tale of Two Cities? What's up with that?
So, Tale of Two Cities.
He said his mother read it to him.
Right. His mother read. So the Tale of Two Cities. He's listening to it in the car.
Yeah.
So it's like, can I suckle your nipple and you read
it's one of the stories his mother read to him. But the particular chapter that he's listening to in the car is so on the nose it could be a nostril, because one of the major theme of Tale of Two Cities is the rise of the masses as a political force. Mm-hmm. It's the first modern political novel,
right?
Where the public opinion matters. It matters what the people think, mm-hmm. right? In the French Revolution, they thought choppy choppy is what they thought, mm-hmm. right? And so there's a water metaphor that runs through all of the Tale of Two Cities about the ocean, about the tides, and the tides are a metaphor for the masses of the people who can rise up against the shore and then pull back, and then they're this force, and that's what he's listening to, is how powerful the public is, how powerful public opinion is. We're about to see the president get washed ashore. You'll notice that Frank uses some naval metaphors later on. That's tying into Tale of Two Cities, is that the president is being dashed against the rocks by the tide of public opinion.
Got it.
There you are.
Yep.
Yeah, Dad is an English teacher, and I'll have you know.
I was going to thank you, literary buff.
Okay, so that was so I believe we were on to Mr. Littlefield in chapter 24.
Yes, chapter 24.
Yeah.
The main thing in this one is the Justice Department is now investigating, led by Congresswoman Dunbar.
Independent prosecutor Dunbar.
Yeah, that's right.
And she's investigating the therapist and Fang.
Well, she's starting with Frank.
She's starting with Frank.
She doesn't know about the therapist yet.
Frank is the big one.
Yeah,
and she's pretty determined to get something on him, and he's just trying to blow it off. It's a good scene. Mm-hmm. I like. You know, he says, "Well, we can play 6 degrees of separation." She goes, "How about 1 degree of separation, Stamper?"
Yeah, why did he go to this casino
right,
and then to
they
China?
he went to a casino, then he went to China. What's that all about?
Yeah.
And so at one point, Frank, on the way out, says to the audience, from the lion's den to a pack of wolves, when you are fresh meat, kill and throw them something fresher.
Yeah. Yes.
So, because that's really all he can do.
Right. Give them something bigger to go after.
Right. Because, yeah, release, I guess it's implied that the casino leak was a big deal. He was very reluctant to do it because it's going to hurt him.
Well, and
too,
then Stamper possibly. Says, yeah, I was there. Like, you can't avoid cameras, but there's thousands of hours of footage. How did they find me? Well,
right.
They knew to be looking for you.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So someone knows what's going on here. There's like, what did the, right. the hacker? Hacker
right. says, well, hey. They show the scene where the two guys are like, hey, that's a vice president's assistant right there. So right. Let's see. Also, Claire is still trying to get her sexual assault bill passed. The first lady won't do mm-hmm. press with her on that. And Claire meets with Megan to talk about the media to get her, with Megan to try and get her to go on the air and talk
right.
about what happened to her. And she gives an interview that's where she says Jackie is betraying her country. And then, is this when Jackie
calls
Well,
she also said, she said the general betrayed his country by depriving it of a good Marine.
Right, right.
And then they ask about Jackie, and it's like she's betraying the country, too.
Yeah.
This is on the Chris Shays show.
Yeah.
Which is hard-hitting, you know.
Yeah, right,
and,
right.
And
yeah.
then Jackie calls in.
Yeah, that's later.
And is watching it on TV because, as we all know, Chris Shays is a live show.
Apparently.
That you can just call in on and, while it's happening, and he'll answer the phone.
Hey, it makes for... No, you know what, though?
What's it?
One time I remember on Larry King, he had Rush Limbaugh on.
But Larry King was a live show.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, it can happen. And Rush Limbaugh was ranting against Bill Clinton. This was in the 92 election. Uh-huh. And Bill Clinton called in and completely made a fool.
Oh, yeah. No,
so it can't happen.
It can happen. But Larry King was a live show. That was part of it. He took callers. Chris Shays doesn't take callers.
Okay.
He does a recorded show. You can't watch him live and call in.
Well.
Yeah, never mind. Anyway.
It makes for good TV.
It makes for good TV.
So I'm totally okay with it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Stamper goes to an AA meeting and admits that he's got this obsessive relationship with this young woman that's like booze.
Yeah, and a mother-daughter thing.
And then he meets with Frank, and Frank has a nice line about how we're not young men. If we fail, we die in a cage.
Yeah. and well, this is where Frank lays it down for him. It's like, he asks, are you drinking? Right? And he makes it very clear.
Because
you're fucking up, and we're going to go to jail if you're even a slight fuck up, let alone a big one.
Right.
So you have to tell me if you need help right now. And so we're really getting it delivered in that Stamper's not pleasing Frank with the way he's like slipped.
He's screwing up right now.
Right.
So, but he does destroy his phone.
Yeah, gets rid
of
Rachel.
And he and deletes Rachel from it first.
And we see the hacker lose his track.
Right. Yeah. Right. So he does do that. And then he eventually, of course, sees Rachel having the lesbian sex.
Right.
But I guess this was after the three-way.
This is right after the three-way.
We should mention the three-way first. Frank and Claire have a three-way with Meacham.
That's all you need to know, right?
Claire seduces
him first by breaking the glass, and then he cuts his hand, and there's blood. And this started to feel like Bram Stoker.
Yes.
Like, ooh, the blood, it's like Gary Oldman and Keanu Reeves. Ooh, let me just lick that off your hand for you.
Right, yeah.
You know. And then she calls Frank in there, and it started up the whole, kissy-kissy.
Yes, he's wrapping the bandage
around his hand. And then she kisses his hand, and it's like, okay, that's starting to creep me out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a good scene. I like the way it's done, actually.
Yeah.
And then, meanwhile, Stamper sees Rachel having lesbian sex and is not pleased.
Well, and she leaves her blinds open when she knows she has a stalker. And
not
leaves her blinds open to have sex.
You know, but she's generally not portrayed as the brightest person, so it could happen. I think that's the main thing. The main thing is the three-way.
The three-way. And then we cut straight to the lesbian stuff, just in case you got creeped out by Kevin Spacey having sex.
And then there's your usual stuff going on between Tusk and Remy trying to get Frank and...
It just doesn't...
It's all kind of standard.
We've
seen a lot of it. So, it's... and the president is still trying to deal with Japan and China.
And the big thing is they're trying to get the... they're trying to deal with their strategic reserves of the unobtainium.
Right.
And like that.
Selenium, whatever
that is. Selenium, polonium.
Petronium.
Whatever we made up.
Bolonium.
Solarium.
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 Solarium. Solarium. Really?
That's still better than unobtainium.
Oh, unobtainium is a real thing. Now, everyone, hush.
It is?
It is. It's a real thing. It's a joke name that physicists made up a long time ago for any given material they're trying to make, like plutonium, this or that. It's like, we need the unobtainium. We need the stuff we can't make. Oh. It's an old physics joke. It wasn't made up for Avatar.
Oh, good. Yeah, well, so then I have a little
more. There is no such thing as unobtainium. It means MacGuff.
Right. So it's an in-joke.
Yeah. So, okay, moving on to Gary, please.
Yes.
Okay, we start episode 25 with Dunbar, the Department... Is she Department of Justice prosecutor?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
She goes to see the therapist Larkin, the marriage counselor / reverend guy.
Right.
She's leaning on him to talk about the Walkers' visit, and specifically to try to get information on, did they talk about money laundering with you? And he's sticking to the client confidentiality thing. So she says, you know, we can subpoena you and make you come in. And he says, well, you know, I would still go with the client confidentiality, whatever. So,
right.
So he's stonewalling for the Walkers. The president and the vice president, Walker and Frank, are in the Oval Office, and Walker has had the punching bag brought back in.
Right. Yes.
And to set up just the fact that, okay, you screwed me. I don't trust you anymore. And he's freezing him out. He says, "Yeah, Floyd." The boxer Floyd
Merriweather.
Merriweather was
Mayweather
was in today, and you know, he was working the bag a little bit, and so the president goes into this long speech, as I said, basically to tell Frank, I know your game, I'm on to you, and I don't ever want to see you again. I wish I could order you to resign, or whatever.
You're not my boyfriend anymore.
It's kind of like when Gore and Clinton apparently couldn't stand each other. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So so then we go to Jackie and two of her plebes, and she's reading the New York Times Magazine with Megan Hennessy on the front, and it's the article about it's a hit piece basically from Claire,
right,
about how Jackie won't is a coward and a traitor for not signing on to the bill they're trying to pass. So Jackie says, okay, bitch, it's on.
Right.
And then we have Trish and Claire talking on the phone. Trish, the first lady, she's in her car going home, and Claire is still pushing for her support on the bill, and she's, you know, just trying to get her off the phone. She doesn't want to talk to her. Mm-hmm. And then we have Frank and Claire talking together, trying to figure out how to leak that the president has been prescribed the Xanax and that he's on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what they figure out is that there aren't enough people that know about this for them to leak it without it coming back to them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they decide the next thing to do would be to put him in a position where it's in his best interest to waive his confidentiality with the reverend so the reverend can testify.
Right.
Because the worst thing that can come out of him testifying is that I'm on Xanax. But if he doesn't testify, everybody thinks that he's involved with a money laundering thing.
Right.
And if he is able to testify, he can go under oath and swear that he knew nothing about it, which is true.
Right.
Because he's taking pills.
Well, right. Because Frank didn't let him in on it.
Right.
And so he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we go to Gavin again, the hacker guy. A couple of goons come into his little geek cave.
Right.
They put him in handcuffs. They're mad because he hasn't been calling them. He hasn't been answering emails.
You never write. You never call.
And he says to one of them, he says, take a look at the monitor on the left. And he's entered in all the, I guess, the access codes to the AT&T database,
right,
which he's going to release so that all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
And he goes, take these cuffs off and let me talk to Green.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And throughout this whole scene, he's not the least bit worried. He's kind of contentiously chewing his gum and looking bored while they're, you know, huffing and puffing. So the next scene, we have Frank and the Secretary of State Durant meeting. Frank wants asylum for Fang without pissing off China.
Right.
And he hands that to her and says, go. And Durant knows what Frank is doing, and he finally kind of comes clean to her.
This is the first like unzip for someone else. He's like,
okay, and Durant is negotiating with Fang. Now, Fang's position is that China wants to execute him, so he has to get out. He's been offered asylum by Dubai on a maybe temporary, maybe basis. Frank wants his money to keep pouring into Democratic Party, and so Durant is offering him a deal, basically, asylum in the United States, bring you and your money, and keep funneling it to us, and we'll give you your bridge and make all this happen. And she knows she has him over a barrel. So then we go to Tusk meeting with his lawyers. He's been subpoenaed to come in and talk about this money laundering thing. And they advise him to take the Fifth, which once they get him in there, he does. There's a scene with Stamper waiting for Lisa in a parking lot. Right. Lisa, Rachel's girlfriend.
Or Stocky Stamper stuff.
Stocky Stamper.
Yeah.
And it's been raining and she's been shopping and yet her car window, driver's side window is fully open and the passenger side window is half open.
Right.
Wow. Which we need to get a camera in her side and Stamper's head and the other
yeah.
side.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, look over that. And, you know, Stamper set this whole thing up, her battery dying, just mm-hmm. to get, to take her home so he could see Rachel. Why was that necessary? Why can't...
Because he wanted to get... He wanted to... I think he wanted to see the girlfriend, for one thing.
He wanted
And it's to get a message to Rachel.
Right.
And she's already afraid of him. He can call her, he can text her,
I know who your,
the girlfriend.
I know who your Lisa is.
Yeah. You know, okay. Yeah. Anyway, so Stamper drives Lisa home and acts like he's, hey, the stranger who just helped. And so Rachel, you know, she's upset. Stamper goes to leave, says, good night, it was nice helping you ladies, and blah, blah. And Rachel follows him out, and he tells her, look, get rid of the girlfriend.
Right.
And so she's brokenhearted. She does. It's a big, dramatic, ugly scene, but basically she goes from loving partner to, okay, I was faking the whole thing. I want you to leave. You know, you move out.
Right.
So very, very difficult, and it makes us hate Stamper even more.
Yes, it does.
So Megan shows up on the news show, and is it the same guy? Is it the
Chris Shays
show, yeah. The non-live show? But
right, I think that's happened live. In this. Did it happen?
Yeah, I think it's this episode.
Yeah, it's this episode we're
having. Okay, we already talked about it.
We talked about that. Yeah.
So we don't need to go over that again. The White House Counsel is meeting with the president over how to handle this money laundering thing,
right.
Mm-hmm.
In case he gets subpoenaed. His advice is that we go talk to the therapist and just ask him how he plans on testifying. The White House Counsel, the guy's name is... Anyway.
The guy's name
is White House Counsel.
White House Counsel, and, yeah.
Yeah, he's
running out of names here.
And his advice is to... he says, look, we're skirting the law, but I'll keep us on the right side of it.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So there you are.
Okay, and then Claire meets with Jackie to mend fences. Mm-hmm. She sees that she needs Jackie to lay off of Trish and the president.
Right.
And so she goes to mend fences with her,
right.
And she says, I'm going to pull the bill. You don't have to worry about it.
Right.
We can pass a watered-down version later that meets all your mm-hmm. Requirements. And Jackie asks the least necessary question anyone's ever asked. Are you and Frank up to something?
Are you and Frank up to something? Yeah. Which is question of the year. Seriously.
So we see Claire dropping in on First Lady, as one does.
Right.
First Lady's not happy, but Claire tells her that she's pulled the bill. So, and she's done that to get Jackie off of the president.
That's
and
what
her
she says.
To protect yeah. them. Which yeah. is, mm-hmm. yeah.
That's her story.
Right.
Right.
So Trish is not the brightest bulb either, and she believes Claire has their best interest in mind. There's a bedroom discussion between Trish and the president in which he finally decides against her advice to waive his privilege of not testifying. Uh-huh. And then we have Gavin meeting with Chief Broken Nose. And,
yes.
And he's convinced him that he did do the AT&T code thing.
Right. He's got his wife's chiropractor.
Right. And,
right,
and
yeah.
by to to demonstrate that, he tells him that, you know, your wife is with her chiropractor right now, and they've been having an affair for some time, and, you know, sorry to be the one.
I have their texts.
Yeah. Right. The president and White House counsel, again, talk about keeping the questioning about the money laundering. The White House counsel says, look, I can't control what the other side is going to ask, but we'll go talk to your therapist and see if we can... She won't coach him. He says he won't coach him. He ends up coaching him.
Yeah.
When the therapist is being interrogated, it's obvious that... or when he's being deposed, it's obvious that he's been coached.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's a news brief that the White House counsel was called in to talk about this guy being coached.
Right.
And then the last scene really to talk about is the Secretary of State and Frank. Mm-hmm. She's also been frozen out of everything the president's doing. And Frank goes into this really patronizing, where's the girl I danced with at the Jefferson Ball?
Yeah.
That was kind of silly. And apparently she fell for it because she says, I'm not going anywhere.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, there was one more scene here, which is this is the crucial one where Claire and Frank meet with Jackie.
Oh,
and they reveal the plan to her.
Oh, yeah.
Jackie's like orbiting them in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, you know, the army men are there, and she's like, what's this? It's something I've been working on. Help us finish it, Jackie. And they're very explicit, like, you pursue impeachment.
Right.
And we pretend to fight you, and we pretend to lose to you.
Well, they called her over on the pretense of talking about the bill that Claire had sponsored.
And then Claire said, this is why I gave up on the bill. It's, you know, we need your help with this project.
Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. And that's why we're throwing Megan under the bus and everything else is for that.
And so, Jackie goes into, oh, don't worry about impeachment. I think I've got the votes to, you know, the talk that the president... There's a press conference president and first lady gave.
Right.
Where they're the all-American, you know, family like everybody else, and I ask my wife's advice all the time.
And we had some marital troubles, but
and we went
good.
To a counselor.
Right.
Now, this is beautiful because it's intercut with the Department of Justice going to see Fang in his hotel room.
Yeah.
Right.
And he is so screwed.
Yeah.
It's like... Asylum.
But all those pillows. No. It's like that was so great to get off all those pillows, basically.
Yeah.
It looked like the Princess and the Pea had so many pillows.
Yeah. He knows how to use pillows.
Well, he's supposed to be
under
a bazillion.
His leg. There's like five. Yeah, but those. That was a hotel that the Department of Justice was paying for.
Okay, does that take us to chapter 26?
That wraps
it
up.
All right, before we do that, we have our final bit of listener feedback.
Aaron again.
Aaron again.
Gets to take us out on
Aaron part two.
Yeah. I thought the Claire Megan storyline had plenty of heart, and if it didn't have the shock value of Russo, it made me really think about idealism versus pragmatism and the very real cost people often pay to make our world incrementally better. Pete and Megan both felt they'd be on the winning side, but Russo was manipulated into storming Normandy and believed his armor and support was invincible. Poor Megan braved the machine gun fire with eyes wide open. It was also interesting how Claire handled being the puppet master versus Frank emotionally. Can't say enough good things about Claire and Robin Wright.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Although I will say one negative thing, because I do think that she gives a flawless performance. Mm-hmm. Remember when you were commenting on some of the natural light and some of the cinematography so good?
Yeah.
It's the episode she directed.
Which one was that? Do you remember?
It's right after Jodie Foster's, I believe.
Okay. Mm.
It's near the end. Like, on the pillow, it almost looks like they could really tell that they shot these on two different days.
Mm.
When
Jackie
is on the pillow, and
And Remy.
Yeah, that
the
was...
shots don't match.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That whole episode is... I think Robin is an incredible actress. But there's some work to be done with learning how to play with your cinematographer.
Yeah, absolutely. And this was, we should mention, this was the episode where she goes to visit Megan and Megan's all pilled up. And,
oh, yeah.
And she
yeah.
says, I'm sorry I met you. So that's Adam and Megan both said that to her. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Once again, almost anybody who knows the Underwoods winds up destroyed.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie.
All
right. So chapter 26, here we go. First we have... the Judiciary Committee is really rolling. Now we've moved out of Department of Justice. We've moved on to Judiciary Committee. Linda Vasquez is being braced by the Republicans.
Yep.
We have Frank goes on 60 Minutes with Morley Safer, defends the president wholeheartedly.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Of course, as always. The president has finally figured out that he's in a game here, so he says we're going to get Tusk to destroy Frank, to testify completely against Frank, and then I will pardon him.
Tusk will admit to everything, say Frank was involved, and then I will pardon Tusk. That's the plan.
Makes sense. So they point out that's the one thing the president can offer that no one else
exactly,
can.
Exactly. Frank, on the other hand, makes an appeal to the president. The president says, well, I'm not going to trust you and don't think this is reconciliation, but if you can make this go away, you know, I'll work with you. And he says, oh, I'll dance for my supper. Right. Okay, sure. We have Jackie. Jackie is strategizing on congressional campaigning. And while she's doing that, then Remy comes in. I thought this was a great scene where she basically tells Remy, we're going to throw you to the wolves unless you roll on Tusk.
Right.
He's like standing there sort of like slumped. This is like the first time we see him not stand in a dominant position. His hands are down.
Right. Yeah. He's usually a very strong character.
And I think, did we miss the part where he was in the church with Frank? Or is that in this episode?
That was earlier. That was quite a bit earlier when he gave him the watch back.
Gave him the watch back and everything. So we know that he's got some loyalties on these issues. This is in this episode we visit Fucked Up Crazy Megan. Okay, that's good. Mm-hmm. Then there was a shot here that I really liked, which was I had this idea that I would have liked to have seen Claire do asides as well as Frank, and maybe that could have worked. But we got Claire after finding out what happened with Megan and everything else. She's crying on the stairs.
Yeah, so she has a moment of humanity.
She has a moment of humanity. We know that she's sacrificing for this, right?
In a way, Megan is kind of the Russo of this season.
Yes, you know, Megan is the Russo person, for sure.
A shaky, innocent person steamrolled.
Right.
Sacrificial lamb for the cause.
And then she tells, but for this reason, she feels like she's sacrificing. So Frank really needs to pull this thing off. It has to be worth it. So she says, cut your fucking heart out and give it to Raymond Tusk.
Yeah.
Right. And so in the scene where she's crying, we hear Madame Butterfly, Puccini playing. And then we see Frank at the opera. He goes downstairs with Tusk.
Right.
And he lays it out. Tusk is like, I've got an out. The president's going to pardon me. I'll throw you under the bus and president pardon me. He's like, I wouldn't count on that. You know, you can throw the president under the bus and then I'll pardon you.
Yeah.
You know, which bet would you rather take? Why don't you minimize risk right now?
Right.
You know, and so that's how Tusk ultimately goes before
Congress
and says,
after a certain amount of thought,
president knew. Frank is the better bet. President knew.
We should also mention that Frank gave the president a handwritten letter.
Well, that's coming up here.
Oh, okay.
Is the play. And then when Claire says, because Tusk says kind of no to him in the opera, and Claire says, you make it a yes.
Yeah.
And that's when he pulls out his Underwood typewriter.
Mm-hmm. Right,
again, talk about on the nose. It's like, well, this Underwood made an empire, and now my father told me to make an empire as an Underwood. And he writes out this letter to the president where he just pours out his heart and says, I will take the bullet for you here, and it's false words, but it'll save you, and all this other stuff. And this is what the president doesn't know to trust. In the meantime, he's lobbying various members of Congress and saying, well, if I were president, you'd be the Secretary of Treasury. If I were president. And then he does the great aside. The president, he's in the dark now, and I will gently guide him toward the rocks, which is the Tale of Two Cities, of course.
Yes.
Right? Long story short, basically this thing rolls downhill. Tusk's testimony does it. The president has 8% approval, which is insanely low.
Kind of impossible.
And impeachment's going to happen, so he resigns, and Frank becomes the president of the United States.
Yeah.
And Clara gives him a replacement of his ring. And says I love you, and did we ever see them say I love you to each other?
They kiss like normal humans.
We've seen almost like no actual physical affection except maybe a hand on the small of her back now and then.
They have some moments of affection, but
never I love you. I don't think they've actually said I love you.
I don't think ever happened.
Right. And then
she doesn't love him until he's president.
Yeah,
that's kind of a tough condition.
Before we have the whole signing and everything else like that, we have our loose cannons out there, the Hacker and Stamper. The Hacker is offered a job with intelligence, and he's like, no fucking way, I've been fighting you guys this whole time.
He wants to
meet with Stamper, and Stamper says, I don't respond to extortion, I'll help you if I can, basically. So now we know that the Hacker has some, has a little bit of a pull here because he's got the information, essentially that could undo the presidency.
So he will come up next season.
He will almost certainly be a foil next season.
Stamper, once he finds out that this hacker is on to all kinds of stuff, figures Rachel is where the hacker will get to eventually. Right. So he grabs Rachel and they go road tripping. And, you know, Rachel gets free and Stamper chases her and she kills him with a rock.
Right.
And runs off into the woods. You know, so we're going to see what happens with her next season. The hacker and the hooker are on the loose.
Are the two weak links.
Are the two weak links.
The hacker and the hooker. That may be the name of the next season.
The hacker and the hooker. Yep. And then Frank comes up and he pushes the chair aside, stands at the desk there. And did you know that ring knock was coming?
The Oval Office.
Did you know it was coming the whole time?
Yes.
And did that was Spacey, just perfect, though.
Did he hold just that long enough?
That was perfect.
Wham, wham! And we cut to black.
You know, that was good.
So looking forward to next season. I want to thank my subcommittee for we did a marathon session here to get you guys two episodes of our show. And it's a lot of work to blitzing through a season with recaps and not just doing a generalized overview. Right. But I definitely appreciate the effort you all put in. So thank you very much, everybody.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I will never betray you. So stay tuned in the future for us for our True Detective show. And next month, Game of Thrones rolls out. And
woohoo!
Winter's coming, baby.
So, neither of you are watching Game of Thrones, though, right?
It's just too big an involvement for me to.
I watched Game of Thrones, and I can't remember anybody's name, but
it is. I have spreadsheets.
We will have and all the other people.
Yes,
right?
Tyrion and not Tyrion. We'll have Alan and Molly back in the small council for that.
Yeah, True Detective. I'm in.
Yeah.
If we do Peaky Blinders,
we're going to be doing Peaky Blinders probably in the summer.
All right.
Yeah,
good.
Because it looks like it'll be in America in the fall. So there we go.
Cool.
All right, everybody.
Okay.
Until next year.
Good night.
Close up.